Welcome to Vaudeville. Today's an amazing day. It's the 1st of August, and I'm here with...
Jeremiah Hopes.
Yay! I've known Jeremiah since high school, and today we're going to talk about...
The military. My experience in the military.
Yeah, we're talking about Jeremiah's experience in the military. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to talk about. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So you're in the military. What inspired you? What was the reason you went into the military from high school?
So my experience, well, actually, before I even got to high school, I never thought about wanting to join the military. I don't even think that, like, everyone's had, like, an inkling of an idea. Be in the military, but it happened when I got to high school. I didn't want to go to college. My parents were really pushing me to go to college, and I was just like, and I was in ROTC, and you know, my ROTC instructors were really like hell bent on, like, hey, you know, I think you'd be a good job in the military, you know, I think you'd be a good fit. You really have that mind, you fit right in, you just fine, you know, and that's why I got started. So I originally wanted to do the Air Force. But they are very selective. They're very difficult to join. And unless you're just like cream of the crop, you know, on top, you know, you don't really get, kind of get looked over. So my second option, you know, it was like the Navy. And that's who I ended up settling for and getting into. I kind of regret because I wish I just would have went with my first option and stuck to my first option. Even though it would have been like a little difficult to do it, you know, I would rather I'd done it. Done what I wanted to do than settle for something I didn't, you know, which is what I kind of did. I mean, it was my second option anyway, so I wasn't really tripping. But ended up settling for the Navy, and, you know, I went through the whole process with the MEPS, you know, the whole nine yards, and, you know, choose my job and everything. And I was like, yeah, boom, I'm set. I'm going to join the Navy. And the rest is kind of history. I went to the boot camp in Chicago. Got through that. Terrible time. I mean, like, it was hard, but then, like, looking now, I feel like it's not that hard, honestly. It's just not that hard.
Really?
But, yeah, not really. Like, the hardest boot camp probably, hands down, is Marine Corps. It's hard, it's difficult, yes, you know what I'm saying? But it's not the most difficult. You know, there are definitely more vigorous challenges out, I'd say. Yeah, but
a lot of people leave the military at the point of boot camp. It's like at that moment they're like, heck no, this is not for me, goodbye, sayonara, everything. But what makes them leave at that point?
So that's what I found funny, because you know, some people like when I researched a lot about the Navy and a lot about Navy boot camp before I got in. So like when I got to boot camp, very few things to me were a surprise. I mean, it was still like a culture shock, like, wow, I'm in the military, I'm doing this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like the yelling, the screaming, the being made to do push-ups, exercises and stuff, like that wasn't really like a shocker, because it was like I kind of knew this was going to happen, you know what I'm saying? So there are some people who I feel like generally got there and thought that this was about to be a cakewalk, like, oh, you know, it's the Navy, you know, the Navy is the easier, you know, easier to do, I can, you know, I'm just slide by. And it's like they got there and they're just like, yeah, I can't do this. And like the stuff, a lot of the time, like it wasn't even physical stuff. It was mental. It really all it was. It was a mental game, because they would stress you out. They would keep us up all day and night. You know, there's a lot of it was just mental stress. You know, like yes, like you add on the physicality of it, like made to do exercises, it made it more stressful. But a lot of it was just mental, and some people just couldn't handle it. And I feel like your background played a part, because you know, I feel like I definitely came from a more rougher background, so getting yelled at, getting screamed at, you know, being made to do stuff, taking orders wasn't an issue, because it was like I feel like I kind of did it my whole life, you know, with my parents and doing certain things. But some there, you know, they come from more comfortable lifestyles and backgrounds, so getting yelled at, getting told what to do, when to wake up, eat, what to sleep, whatever, was just such a culture shock. They couldn't handle it, you know, and like yeah. it really blew me. Like some people got there and like 5 seconds in and they're like, oh, I can't do this. And I'm just like, bro, you just got here, like what is, like, yeah, this isn't for me. And I'm not, you know, I look back and I'm like, so then what did you think this was? What made you want to do this? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there was never a point in time where I thought, oh, I'm going to quit. You know, like, nothing I ever felt I faced was too hard, you know, or that it was too challenging. I couldn't make it through, you know. I knew that I was going to make it through, knew I was going to go home. Like, yes, it was tough, you know, but it wasn't, you know, I never thought, like, yeah, I'm going to quit. Like, absolutely. Like, I think I feared, if anything, more so getting told I was going to quit. Or told I was going to get dropped, you know, like, by someone else. Like, I would never come on my mouth and say, I'm done. But, like, someone else would tell me, okay, you're done, you're out of here. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That was more than actually quitting myself. So, yeah, I never, yeah, like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of easy. Because I was like, yeah, this cakewalk.
That's fascinating. Because, Leo, you went straight into military and you seemed to, I wouldn't say love it, but, like, you seemed to just, you know, acknowledge that this is something you'll be doing for most of your life. And just, you know, go through the challenges of it, generally. I feel like I wouldn't have survived there. I would have been like, you know, take me home. I am done with this. And, like, you know, I would have been, I don't know. Because people who tend to join military obviously come from very different backgrounds. And, like, from different type of situations and, like, you know, different behaviors. Like, how do you deal with all those? You know, it's not just yourself, but, like, other people. You have to deal with other people because right. it's not like a solo mission. Like, you're in the Navy with a group of other people. So, like, how do you acclimate yourself to that kind of situation?
So, I will say, I think the Navy is the most branch, and that's just a fact because they kind of pull from everywhere. Like, we're literally all over the world, literally. And then, like, they recruit from everywhere. I remember in boot camp they're being from the Philippines, and, you know, from Korea and, like, China, or, like, there were some people from Hawaii.
They went to the countries to recruit them?
No, so I think the Navy has, like, a lot of, like, bases and, like, territories all over the world, you know, like, there's, like, bases in Japan, you know, Hawaii, you know, so it's, like, their reach is, like, almost, I want to say, global. So, naturally, where you find military, you will find recruiting stations in other places and mm-hmm. such. So, you know, they're able to pull from that part of the world, and, you know, the way they which they promote and sell themselves on a lot of time, of course, is that, oh, you know, join the Navy, you can travel, you know? So, like, you can go see all these cool places, you know, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, all this stuff, people do it, yada, yada. And that is true to a degree. Of course, you know, they don't include the reality in the fine print somewhere, what it really means. But, yeah, like, you know, the Navy, like I said, overall is very diverse. And, you know, you'll find that, you know, you'll mesh and bond and become cool with some of the people that you never thought you would even, like, be cool with. You know, I can definitely say for a fact that I have friends that had it not been for the military, for the Navy, I would never be friends. Like, before I joined, I never had anyone of, not, you know, anyone who was white who I was a friend or knew personally. You know, I knew of white people or people who existed, but I never had, like, a person that I considered and called, like, yeah, this is my friend, you know, before boot camp for the military. And, you know, like, I know people like Asian, you know, Filipinos, and, oh my God, Filipino, there's so many Filipino people, you know, yeah, like, you know, Hispanic, you know, just everyone, you know, like, even, like, black people, like, you know, people from Nigeria and Ghana, like all these other places where they, you know, would never have thought of or seen that they're in the military, you know, and they're, like, they are themselves in the military. It's not like, you know, they're in, like, certain, they hide who they are or how they mm-hmm. speak. They are themselves, you know, accent and all, in the military, you know?
That's beautiful. But
yeah, actually, very admirable, yes.
Wanted absolutely. To point out, you said something about fine print, because usually people go into the military, Navy, Air Force to travel. People are like, oh, you know, some they post them to Germany and, like, having fun in Germany, post them to Japan and all those kind of things. But what is the fine print? You talk about a fine print. What is that fine print? Is it, like, a clause, like, before you are able to do that?
So that's what they advertise and tell, but then what they don't tell you is, and it's this term that you hear a lot in the Navy, it's choose your rate, choose your bait. And that is a very, very true statement. And all that basically means is that, you know, a lot of times your experience in the military, in the Navy, it dependent entirely upon what job and what you choose, because by choosing a job, you therefore kind of decide how your career path and your career will go. You know, some people, and this is me, you know, sort of spitballing examples and showing you, like, you know, different instances where this works, but you'll have different instances where, you know, a person may choose a job and a job can, you know, the job can be, is all over the world, everywhere, needed everywhere, and they can go to all these cool places, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, station at these places. And, you know what I'm saying, they're living life, you know what I'm saying? They go to some place and, you know, their schedule is cake and, you know, they're just exploring and having the best times. So, you know, the Navy will take that, it was that personal experience and promote him. Be like, hey, you can be like Petty Officer, you know, he's from East Bumble Nowhere. And look, he's in Japan. Be like him. Join the Navy, you know. But what they won't tell you is that, oh, at the same time, you can choose this other job, let's say like an engineering grade, like an MM, you know. Which MM stands for machinist. And they only have two places they can go, which is either on the ship or shore duty. And on a ship, obviously, because, you know, the main primary job is on the ship, working on the systems on the ship. But when they go shore duty, they're, like, literally, like, only two places they can go. They can either become an instructor, or actually, I cap three. They can either become an instructor, go RDC, become a drill instructor, go recruiting, or they go work at a maintenance facility center, where it's pretty much they're just like they work at like a general shop, and they're on call for ships, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, being that you chose this particular rate, you know, your likelihood of ever thinking a place like Japan or Germany or those other kind of places is slim to none. Your job is only needed in so many places. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So unless you either A, cross rate, which is like choosing another job, cross job, or B, I don't even know. honestly, unless you just choose a whole another job, or you happen to land those like really rare special orders that like people like you, you're pretty much never see this kind of place. You know, and it's very much so possible for you to pretty much go your entire career and like never had traveled and seen these places. You know, like, you know, I've been in 3 years now, and, you know, I've only been to Florida. I've been off the coast of the Bahamas, because we anchored off the coast of the Bahamas, and I had a swim call where we got to jump in the water and everything. But, you know, I've been to Florida, the Bahamas, obviously out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and outside of, like, Mississippi for school and Chicago for boot camp, that's really it. That's all the places I've been, you know, as far as traveling. You know, I've been here in Virginia for a time, and that's only because the ship I'm on is broken, so they're repairing it. So whereas, like, when you're on a normal ship, you know, you're constantly out to sea, so you'll see these places and, like, go visit the, like, foreign ports a lot of the time. I'm on a ship that's, like, strictly we're here in port working on the ship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And unless I go TAD to a ship that's going out to sea, I'll pretty much see any of that cool. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like I said, that's what they don't tell you. And tell you on, of course, because they did. And they're like, came out and was like, hey, you know, you can go to Japan, but maybe just stay in Virginia for 5 years and do nothing. You know, maybe. But, you know, that wouldn't really be like a selling factor. And people wouldn't join if they knew, okay, I'm stuck in a place I don't want to be at forever. You know?
Yeah.
That's the sad truth of this situation scenario.
You said, like, before we started your podcast, you said something about, like, wanting to move from the Navy to the Marines. What is the catalyst for that change?
Oh.
How can that happen? Like, can someone be like, oh, quicker one day, be like, you know what? No more Air Force for me. Let's do Army. Like, how does that happen, and why is your reason for that?
Okay, so this is a little fun history fact. So the Air Force had to be a part of the Army before they became their own. So the Army, in essence, kind of the Air Force, but the Air Force is still considered their own independent branch. Same as goes for the Marine Corps. If you look at the, if it, like, you can go on Google, the picture. If you look up the logo Marine Corps, you know, the EGA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll say on the picture, you'll say Department of Navy, United States Marine Corps, because the Navy technically owns the Marine Corps, even though they're still their own independent branch. And with that, so in essence, it's easier to cross between Air Force and the Army than it is, say, like the Army to the Navy, because you know, the Army and the Air Force are connected just like the Marine Corps and the Navy are connected. So
yeah,
they mingle, they mess around with each other. So like if you wanted to jump between the two, it would not necessarily be entirely easy, but easier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my reasoning for considering joining the Marine Corps, it comes from my experience in the Navy, you know? Like I remember when I first joined, you know, I completely didn't even consider the Marine Corps, did not consider the Army, because, you know, I was like, I don't want to go to war, I don't want to hold a gun, I don't shoot, I don't do something. I just want to wear like this nice little green uniform, you know, with my name on it, and work my little nice little desk job and just be chilling, you know what I'm saying? You know, wear my little brown boot, and just whatever, you know, like, it appealed to me the fact that, you know, like, I saw my recruits, you know, the people were in, and it seems like they were able to lead and live simple jobs, simple lives in the military, you know, not do anything inherently dangerous or hazardous to themselves, you know. So that's what I went. I was like, oh, hell yeah, you know, paying job, benefits, you know, am I getting shot at? Cool. And that's pretty much like exactly what I got. Like I got pretty much that and then some, you know. I'm an LS, which is logistics specialist. I supply, so I pretty much manage, order, purchase, buy all the stuff that needs to go on the ship. And like my job is pretty much needed everywhere because logistics supplies me everywhere, so
mm-hmm.
I can effectively go anywhere. And you know, I'm on a ship that's pretty much grounded in port, so I don't have to go out to sea all the time. So I pretty much like I'm on shore duty basically. I'm basically like at a desk somewhere working my little 8 hour bus. I get to go home every day. You know?
Yeah.
That was that was cool for like all of 5 seconds, and then soon after, you know, it became mundane, and you know, it was just, you know, it's just so much stuff to do with like my ship, not whatever, you know. Like I feel like had I been actually sent to an active ship that was like actively doing real Navy stuff, maybe I would share and have a different opinion. But you know, I've effectively spent the last 2 years doing less than half of my job, and on top of that, not really seeing any action. So I feel like over time I built up this like, man, like I kind of desire one more. Mm-hmm. Like I want more from life, my job, whatever. And I feel like I was always, so before I joined, I remember like the Marine recruiter trying to like, you know, convince me to come join him when I was talking to a Navy recruiter, and like guys, some like staff sergeants, and E5, E6, whatever. And he was talking to me, yeah, you know, you preach, you know, they do, they sell it up real nice, you know, brotherhood and honor, courage, commitment, and all this stuff, and yada yada, blah, 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 you know. And it sounded good. Like, you know, at the time, I couldn't help but to acknowledge how legit being a Marine sounded. Plus, by the way, the Marine Corps had the best uniforms, hands down, 100%. This is just factual information. Anyone in the military can agree to this. Degree, the Marine Corps are the best uniforms.
Are they brown?
No, they're green and black. They actually look like, let me see, pull up the picture. Yeah, like they're, they look like, that's weird. They look like that. That's kind of like a bad example.
Oh.
Like they're pretty low. Yeah, they look like, yeah, that.
Oh, you mean that uniform?
Yes. I mean, like, all the uniforms look pretty legit, you know. Like, that's the dress blues. Those are the, up there, it was like, as you can. But, like, just that one right there, that one's pretty legit. Oh. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty, mm-hmm. I might be, like, the best. You know, the best camis slack working uniform any branch has. And, yeah, it's pretty legit. And, you know, yeah, like he was chopping it up, trying to tell it to me. And I was like, even though it sounded nice, I was just like, no, like, I'm not going to sit here and like, you know, hurt myself and, you know, throw myself in harm's way. And that was me then. The me now looks at the me then and is just like, you poor fool. poor bastard. Like, you, like, I will say this, you know, I was afraid, you know, because I don't know if I would have been able to make it through something like that off rip, you know. Like, I feel like I needed the Navy. Navy boot camp and do the things I did in the Navy. That's my limit. See, like, where I'm at. See what I was able to accomplish. You know, going through Navy boot camp, now I'm like, okay, like, if I chose to get out tomorrow and go join the Marine Corps, like, I feel like I could do it. Like, because I kind of know what to expect. I know how it is, you know. I hear that prior enlistees go into the other branches all the time. So, you know, I would still get treated like a recruit, everyone else, but, like, having that, like, knowledge that, like, okay, I've done this before, mm-hmm. I can do it again. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing too big, mine over mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But joining the Marine Corps off the rip, I don't know if I would have got through it. You know, honestly, mm-hmm. I don't able to make it through that, because that's a behemoth. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, and that's just the truth. They built it. I ain't gonna hold you. They are constructed differently, made differently. The Marine Corps is definitely a cut from a different cloth, if you will, you know.
So what is their purpose exactly? Because, like, usually, like, I guess I'll use my country for example. We don't really have a Marine Corps. We have a Navy, Army, Air Force, and that's all. And we never mentioned the Coast Guard. I feel like Coast Guard needs some recognition, because they're just
no one respects the Coast Guard.
I respect them. Okay, I like them.
We I feel like all branches of the military agree on, and I mean, like, actual branches, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force can all agree on.
Actual branches. The Coast Guard, yes, is a branch. They secure the coast. Okay? They are doing their work.
No.
Leave them alone. Like, most times when there's a pirate problem, who takes care of that?
Sure, the wannabe Navy, yeah.
Not okay. The wannabe Navy, the Coast Guard, okay? You guys do all the underwater ship and all those other things going from coast to coast. They protect the coast here, okay? Give them credit.
So let me tell you. Okay, so listen, so we, The Coast Guard used to be a part of the Department of Defense. So they weren't even considered DOD. They weren't even considered, like, a military branch. They actually weren't. They were not. They were literally Department. They were considered Homeland Security, you know. And then, I guess, some point, someone signed some bill someplace else, whatever, making them an official, you know, branch of the military. And then they became the part of the Department of Defense. So now they're legit. But, like, no one in the actual armed forces, like, i.e. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, recognize or respect. Like, yes, they are natural branch. Like, they're enlisted, they're officers. Like, if we see them, we have the silver and respect and give them their permission. But, as an inside joke, no one respects them.
Well, I'm not inside, so I guess my outside, I respect them. Plus, I know they're
Before I joined, I would have never. And I remember, like, the little job fair day at school, when they, like, all, like, the people came, like, group people of different colors. I remember the Coast Guard being there. Hell no. I wouldn't be caught dead. Absolutely not.
Oh, the Coast Guard wasn't there?
No, the Coast Guard was there. That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember them talking to me, too.
I like them. They seem so friendly.
I bet they do.
They seem so America's friendly, fine. And they've, like I said, protect our coasts. And I also know that it was created by Alexander Hamilton, so that's the one branch I know who created it from scratch. I don't know who created the army or the rest, so that's why I like him. Also, I also wanted to ask you, are you going to, because you said college was never in the plans, but I know a lot of people who go into the military to go to college, like, what are the benefits of joining the military, and in terms of, like, well, just general benefits? And are you going to go to college at some point, or this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life?
Oof. So, you know, as you know, big selling points of the military is, you know, college, free college, mm-hmm. and yeah, so it's kind of funny, you know, because, you know, I joined the military so I don't have to go to college, or school rather, and then I try to go to school in the military, you know, because they send you to schools to teach you stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. you take, there are like training courses and classes in boot camp that, you know, for you like to learn like naval history and other kind of stuff, you know, you get sent this, they call it a school, apprenticeship school, to learn, you know, your job and learn how to do your job. So join the military to avoid school is like kind of like an oxymoron, because like in the end you kind of end up going back to school anyway, so it didn't really matter, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, now that I have the option to go, and of course go to school for free, it's like, you know what I'm saying, yes, I do plan to take advantage of it at some point. I don't know when. Some would advise you strongly to use, because there are many different like benefits and, you know what I'm saying, I want to say caveats that you can do a lot. Go to school, you know, there's like tuition assistance and like these other different that allow you to while in it. Granted, it's a bit harder, you know, but yeah, like you can go to school while you're in the military before you can get out, you know, and you can finish like an entire degree if you wanted to, if you're that motivated. But yeah, you can, it's an option available, and I just don't know. It's all a matter of question of when. When will I utilize a newfound gift? I just there's an incentive also, I guess, to get your degree while in, because you can convert to officer. In order, if you know this, in order for you to become an officer in any branch of the military, you have to have a degree, and you know, you earn that degree, you know, submit paperwork and commission as an officer, you know. So that's also another thing. Now, would I want to become an officer in the Navy? Honestly, no. Like, it'd be cool, but I have, like, the desire isn't strong enough, you know. Because, like, I'm an enlisted, so going from enlisted officer would be kind of legit, because I would get respect a little bit more, because, you know, they tend to respect more, we call them Mustangs, but, you know, like you tell an officer is a prior enlisted by how they talk and act or whatever, and, like, the enlisted, you know, a lot of times will respect or gravitate or, you know, or hover more towards that particular officer because, you know, they get our struggle, you know what I'm saying? Versus you'll have officers who come straight from the academy, straight off of ROTC and college. They'll, you know, like, a brand new officer is like an infant with a shotgun. If that, get that kind of, like, it's, you know, they know nothing about the military. They're brand spanking new, but they're getting all this power and authority. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, they're basically just like brand spanking new boot out of boot camp, but the rank of an officer, they're an officer. So, you know, you still have to salute them, still have to guard, give them their respect. And yes, they've gone through, you know, their own former various training and, you know, they've gone through various training schooling to prepare them for when they reach the fleet. So, like, you know, coming to that first ship or their first command, they aren't clueless necessarily, but still they're very new. So they don't know how things operate. And what you'll find it is, you know, you'll have, like, say for instance, you know, you'll have like a 20-year E-78. You know what I'm saying? They've been in the military a long time. You know what I'm saying? They're high, you know, they're up there, and this brand spank officer, you know, and obviously, you know, this 20-year veteran here, you know, clearly knows what they're doing, knows their job, knows it front and back, you know, knows what they're doing, whatever, you know, but they'll still have to report, you know, come back to, you know, ask permission for, and, you know what I'm saying, pretty much give the say-so to the junior officer, because the officer is the person put in charge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at that point, it becomes a seniority over rank kind of thing. But, like, it doesn't matter, like, at E9, which is rank in the enlisted rank structure, at E9, also have to respect and, you know, garnishes respect to another one, which is the bottom of officer totem pole, you know? And then it's crazy, you know? Now, will it actually happen in not practicality? No, not really. I've seen it, you know? You'll have a Master Chief and you'll have an officer. An officer will be trying to tell Master Chief what to do, and Master Chief's looking like, calm down, son, relax. like we get it, like, you know, yes, technically you're over me, but you're not over me, you know? Like, I know what I'm doing, you know? But, you know, in front of the right crowd, you know, in front of the right people, you know, Master Chief will have to, like, pay respects to and, you know, give his respect to the officer, regardless of how junior they are, you know?
Yeah. So, my question then, like, talking about, like, you know, someone who graduated from college becoming an officer and someone who started from the bottom and becoming an officer, what is the purpose of West Point?
So, you have West Point and then the Naval Academy. West Point, I know, is for the Army. It's yes. where the people become Army officers. And then the Naval Academy, obviously, is for the Navy. Now, I am aware, I'm not too privy on this, you know, because I don't know if the Marine, I don't think the Marine Corps has their own, like, officer academy, nor do I think the Air Force does. I don't think. I don't know. Don't quote me, though. You know, at least I don't know what the. But what I'm under the impression is that you can go to West Point and then become a Marine Corps officer, you know, or vice versa. You can go to like these academies and become a different branch officer. So, but the purpose of West Point and like I said, the Naval Academy is where it leads people to become officers. You know, because like I said, there are many routes, many different ways to get there. It's just that's one of many ways, because you have the Naval Academy, you have the academies, and then you have OCS, which is Officer Candidate School, and it's basically like boot camp for officers. And a lot of the time, you'll see listees go that route because you know they're trying to become an officer or whatever, or even some boots, even some like civilians becoming brand new officers, but. The academy, like I said, is for making officers, and it's basically college. That's what it all is. It's literally just college for the military. Oh, yeah. You go there for 4 years, you get a degree, and then you become an officer in your prospective branch.
Yeah, but I thought they, like, it's not like going to University of Houston, obviously. Like, they do boot camp-esque things, like they do exercise or something like that, because I'm pretty sure going to West Point they don't do like, oh yes, you know, your classes are by 12 noon.
No, that's the thing, they're very pampered up there. Now that part I do know, yes, like they don't, yeah, you're right on the part that, you know, there's still some very military-esque type elements to it, you know, as far as like, you know, structure and like, you know, you know, waking up early and all that kind of stuff, though. But in the grand sum of things, yes, it's quite literally cop for the military. You know, it's where they, like I said, officers, and you know, yeah, you know, that's where they make them at.
Yeah, I also know it's very hard to get in to those
yes
things.
You have to do so. When I was in high school, I tried it. But, you know, and I looked up the instruction on how to get it. You have to get recommended by, you have to get like a recommendation from so many people. You have to go sit down, like, I think the city council or your state or your city center there, get a recommendation to go there. Like, you can't just like, not everyone can just apply and get accepted is my point. You know, like you have to have been recommended from someone in some position of authority or power to go there, you know? And, you know...
That sounds yeah. very classist to me.
Oh, 100%. Yes, absolutely.
100%. It sounds like they want a certain type of person. Like, no one can just go, like, from yeah. Marshall and go to West Point because...
My exact point, yes. You are absolutely correct.
That's sad, to be honest. Like, even I, after graduation, I got emails from, like, recruitment and saying, you know, you could be an officer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, darling. Have you ever seen, do I look like someone who will be in the military? No, thank you.
But see, that's the thing, you know, like, and you'll be surprised by that, you know what I'm saying? But like, so, like, my recommendation for anyone going in, you know, is number one, going as an officer, because you make more money than enlisted do, and you'll be treated with respect. You know, they'll have to garnish and give you your respect, you know what I'm saying, because you're an officer, you know what I'm saying, and you're just off rip treated so much better than any enlisted, the enlisted are, you know. Yeah. And you know, like, there's still like a route, a path in order to become an officer. Like, it's not at all easy. They don't just hand out, like, oh, here you go, here's all this rank and responsibility, you know, take it, you know, like, you still have to do stuff. But, you know, like, if I say to most people, if they're considering if that's what they want to do, go for it, you know, go for it entirely, and, you know, yeah, go that path and that route, because you'll be a whole lot better off in the end.
Oh, okay, so you're advising people to go to college, get a degree before they join the military, in summary, so that they can have a better opportunity and better experience there.
Yes, just, you know, like if you've already went to college, you have your degree, like, I think I'm gonna join the military, going as an officer. There's zero reason for you to enlist. There's no reason. Like, you're taking an L for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but and like, if you want to join the military, but you want to go to college first, like I said, there are ways to do it. You know, have the ROTC program in college, mm-hmm. or you can just, like I said, outright get your degree and then go join. You know, like, there are many ways to cut the cake for it. It just depends on how you want to do it, you know?
Yeah. The reason why we started talking about military in the first place is that you said that it's not as it seems. Because I told you that I'm not someone who is very pro-military. I feel like they spend a lot of money into the military defense budgets generally, and money can be used for citizens here and stuff. And, like, you know, the recent article came out and said that they spent over $1 trillion on a fighter jet that did not work. And I was like, wow, $1 trillion on a jet that did not work. What a waste of money. But, like, I'm a very pacifist person. I'm not someone who is, like, pro. In my world, we'll be like Iceland that has no military. But, like,
really?
Yeah. What do you say?
No, I was like, really? Like, wow.
Yeah, Iceland has no military and is the happiest place, one of the happiest places in the world. So, like, I don't know if there's a correlation with that. But, like, I know that a lot of the money is in the defense budget or whatever. It doesn't go to the military people themselves. Because I see, like, a lot of military people, when they leave the military, they don't have money. They end up constantly going to the VA office for something. And I don't understand why, if a lot of the money goes into the defense military budget, like, a lot of the trillions of dollars go there, and yet the military people don't receive it. What is the reason for that? And also, we also talked out, you can answer that, but, like, my main focus is that you said that you could relate with that in a sense of being in the military and not also being, like, you know, very pro-militaristic kind of person too. But, like, you said that there's another side, more or less a dark side to the military, and I want to know that side. But answer the first one first, which is, like, the budget, but not, like, people like you don't get that money, or the benefits of that money. Or, well, what is the money going into? Like, who gets the money at the end of the day? Because I know way higher rank people get the money. I guess you see some people retiring, they're like, oh, yes, I spent 30 years in the military, and they have, like, a giant house in River Oaks. And, you know, those kind of things. But then there are also some people who finished 30 years too, but are constantly going to the VA office for some medical problems or something else. So, like, what is the problem there? And
also, right. That's very true. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, and it's sad because, like I said, like I don't even want to call it, like, the dark truth. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not. I don't even want to really sell it as that, you know what I'm saying? But it's more so like, you know, like if I knew everything that I know now, either A, I wouldn't have joined, or B, I just would have took the tools and lessons that I know and ran with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I probably would be maybe way farther along in my career than where I'm at now, you know?
Yeah.
And it sucks because, like I said, you know, like, you know, like the way everything works and everything is like, you know, they don't tell you everything, you know? And like, so it's like that on purpose, like that by design, of course, you know, like if they did, then, you know, probably they wouldn't have people in the military, honestly. you know, yeah, there's a lot that you just don't know about. Like, it's an unknown. Like, going to boot camp, doing the entire process, just like, man, there's so much, like, I don't know about, like, where am I going to go? Where am I going to be at? How's my life going to be? I'm going to hate myself, you know? Like, what's going on? And, you know, there's not much that you can do about that. Like, you know, like, I talked to so many people. I got so many perspectives and so much, you know, insight before I joined, you know, trying to, you know, make sure the most informed decision possible. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, honestly, not that it didn't help, you know, but like, it didn't really matter, you know, because, you know, everyone's experience is different, you know? So my experience could be different from yours, you know, it could be different from the next person, whatever, you know? And it's not a, what's that? What's the term I'm looking for? Like a one size fits all kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people go in, love it, stay for years. Some people hate it, get out of the contract. It just depends, you know? And, you know, yeah, that's just kind of like the way it is.
So what do you see like in your military future? Because I know some people go into the military and then go into public service, like politician kind of situation. There are a lot of military people who ended up in politics. What is your own military future? Do you want to like how long is yourself being in the military one, and what military future are you looking into?
So as far as how long I plan to stay in, that is still a very much so undecided question. And it is very undecided because I don't know. You know, because after only 3 years in, my contract was for 5, and it's just way too early to say, you know, honestly, way too early. And, you know, I would love to call it and be like, well, yeah, you know, like, I'm probably going to get out to this. But like, if I got out tomorrow, the question I have to ask myself is, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do with myself? What am I going to do with mine? You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of job would I have lined up for myself? Like, what am I going to do? You know, it's a real question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, on top of like, you know, what would I do? It's like, you know, the adjustment, you know, because I work right now. I have a side job. I work at Domino's on weekend, you know, making a little extra money, you know, and, you know, it's pretty decent money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, I'm just a delivery driver, so I make mostly tips, and it's pretty good, you know. But like, just being there, like, I see the difference between the military and like normal civilian jobs, and it's because, like, you know, a lot of what the military has, like I guess, like, I want to say, like that kind of like backbone that, like, you know, you're always taken care of, you know, it's not there in a normal job unless you have like a salary job, or unless like that job kind of provides those kind of benefits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just like that feeling of knowing, like, no matter what, you're always taken care of is not there. And then on top of that, you know, like, it's weird talking to and, like, you know, trying to like, I guess, relate to people who aren't in, because like, you'll say and do certain things and they're just kind of like, bro, what are you talking about, you know? Like, it's weird. I feel, like, awkward even, like, saying it, because, like, I've only been in a minute, though, but, like, I've noticed those very sharp changes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, the vocabulary and the way in which like you interact with people or whatever, you know, it's just it's not the same, you know.
And
you know, like they just like, unless they've been in, you know, they truly just, they won't get it. It's just, it's the sad reality, you know, like it, at least like, at least how like maybe a family member or like, if they can't relate in some way, you acting and being where you are, you just, they won't get it, you know?
Yeah.
But,
so like, what's your advice for people who are considering joining the military? Like, is it, well, you have, see, you seem to have a very lukewarm experience with the military, hot and cold, there and there. You enjoy it, but at the same time, you don't. So, like, what's your advice as someone who is currently in 3 years, apart from, like, you know, going the officer route, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about it, considering it, and, like, you know, feel like, you know, they could be of a good use to the military?
So, my thing would be, first off, go on with the plan. Even though you're planning dark, even though you're planning for, you don't even know what you're planning, because like a lot of the time you find like when people come in, they're like I'm sure you've seen like on TikTok and around, you know, various social media forums, you know, someone's like, hey so and so, why did you join the army? Why did you join the Marine Corps? Why did you join the Navy? And they're just like, I don't know. I'm here now. You know? Like I'm in, they're just like they have, like I had basic needs when I joined. Like my basic needs were, you know, job security, health care, obviously, pay, you know, money, obviously. That was just big thing, you know, being broke, and you know, a future, a career, you know. I think what keeps people in is that the military a lot of time will make you feel like you can't live without it.
Oh, wow.
And
that sounds,
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. It provides so much. You know, people become content. Like, they get a steady paycheck every 2 weeks. They're, you know, if they get hurt, they're always taken care of. And they always have some place to lay their head at and some place to go eat. So it's like you all your basic needs are taken care of. So it's like, I don't even do anything. As long as I just show up to work on time and, you know, don't get kicked out, I'm set. You know, and after 20 years, boom, I can retire. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I would tell people, go in with the plan. You know, figure out what it is you want to do, what you want to get out of it, then stick to that. Because if you just go in and you just let fate in the world decide what you want to do, then it will do just that. You decide it. Like, there's a lot of unexpected with military. Like, obviously, you know, your first duty station, you're not going to get sent, we're going to go. So, that will be decided for you. But if your plan is like, okay, I'm going to go in, do my 4 years, get out, go to school, do that. You know, my plan is like, okay, I'm going to go in, you know, I'm going to get my bachelor's and then go officer, do that. You know, like, just go in with, like, some sort of game plan, mind plan, like, what am I here to do? Am I here to do a 20-year, grind it out? Am I here just to get something, get some sort of qual, some sort of certification, something, you know? Go in with at least thinking about your future other than just, I'm going to be in the military,
yeah.
You know? And then on top of that, I guess, is there any other advice really? Yeah, I think that's probably it. Just go on with like something, you know, going, mm-hmm. you know, just going more prepared, you know, there's nothing wrong with being more equipped and, you know, more, you know, sure what you plan on doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So last question, that was supposed to be the last question, but now this question came into my mind. You say, you know, there's a lot of diversity in the Navy. We're going back to the first instance, more or less. There's a lot of diversity in the Navy. But normally they said, like, you know, military is one of the, they see a huge amount of racism in the institution that is the military. Have you experienced anything like that?
Ooh, what a touchy subject. You asked. there's a black lady in my boat. Her name is C.S. Wynn Dixon. She's a culinary specialist, fighter officer, and she made a very interesting point. We had this training called resilience training, where basically we were like talking about ways in which we can combat racism and, you know, sexism and homophobia and all that kind of stuff, like, within our ranks and everything, you know? We were just, like, like a roundtable discussion about it, and she brought forth a great point, which is what I kind of stick with now, say as like which is my answer, and it's that, you know, if the, you know, the, you take from the population, you take the country, which that is America, you know, mm-hmm. you take from and put them in, right, the country, you know, the military, you know, the Army, Air Force, Navy, etc., right? So, and, you know, we always say that, you know, the military is only a reflection of the country it is, you know, so if racism, if homophobia, if all these sort of, you know, problems, these social problems exist within the real world, society, you know, civilian world, why do we think that suddenly, you know, we raise our right hands, you know, we swear oath to the Constitution, and then suddenly it goes away, you know, because that's like, that's what they would like to make you believe, like, there are, like, I will say, like, on the higher levels, to a certain degree, to a certain level, it is not tolerated. It's not at all. Like, if you report it, if you catch someone with their hand in a cookie jar about it, it is not tolerated at all. Like, they will 100% get hemmed up. Like, catch them wrong, and, like, they're screwed. You know what I'm saying? Granted, like I said, catch them with their, like, their hand in the cookie jar, you know? A lot of times, they, these sort of situations get brought up, and you'll kind of get twisted or spun out of, like, what are we looking for, like spun out of, like, they'll talk their way out of it, or they'll spin it a different way, spin it a certain way, oh, well, that's not what I meant, and blah, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of off slightly, whatever, but, you know, like, you catch someone doing something or saying something wrong out of pocket, yeah, that's their ass.
So, as far as... Unless there's, like, actual evidence, like, if by any means, like, someone says, like, you know, something made a racist comment to you, but you are the only witness for that, and you can report it, it will likely nothing will happen.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's, that gets into a whole other thing, yeah. It's definitely, so it is definitely about, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Okay.
You know, yeah, and, you know, you definitely, like, say, making claims such as those, like, you know what I'm saying, you definitely need some, that's why I harped on, you know, hand in the cookie jar, their ass is done. But, like, if you don't catch either almost directly in the act of or have substantial evidence to back up, or at least people back by saying, yeah, this went on, you're kind of just basically SOL, you know?
Wow. But what is your own experience with racism there? Like, has there been a situation where you, like, felt uncomfortable or felt mistreated based on your race?
Yes, so it's actually on my boat with this individual. He's obviously a white male, and is this dude. His name is Elswin Jonathan Roberts. He's an East first class, and you know he's known a man for like making suggestive comments and stuff. You know, he's very clear like where his viewpoints side. He's like I hate to put him in a criteria, or if you will, or a bubble, but like, you know, he's like, you know, the Blue Lives Matter sticker, the great Make America Great Again, you know, bald cap on my dash, the drives the big red truck, like, just if he doesn't get more stereotypical than what I'm describing it to you as, you know what I'm saying? And the thing about him, he's very slick with it, because he'll play it off, he'll insult you, he'll say whatever he can say, and he'll make it seem like he's not implying what he's implying, but he's very much so clearly is. And he's had multiple, like, cases and, I'm saying, situations where, you know, he's said or done something suggestive or remarkable towards someone, and someone's important for it. Now, all to my knowledge, has either been swept under the rug, or he's gotten kind of like a little slap on the wrist. And that's because, like I said, you know, it's not what you know that you can prove. And, you know, unless you catch someone drunk, it's kind of hard to pin them for it. And he's definitely got let off multiple times for this stuff. But as far as me though, yeah, like he once upon a time he made remarks, or he suggested that me and like another person in like in our division in our shop were like messing around and sleeping with each other. Like he brought up, was like, oh, you know, I know you and so and so are together, you know, this side and third, we got it, everyone knows. And I was just like, no, like, no, bro. And then on top of that, you know, Just like the comments, like, you know, like it'll be like slight insults or whatever, like, you know, like about like that's like trying to insult my intelligence, kind of, you know, like, oh, you know, like I'm trying to think. I don't work down there, by the way, either, because I've just been like 6 months ish, so I kind of been like away from him, mm-hmm. you know. But this all happened like kind of like when I first got there to like I want to say like maybe a little less than a year, but like what was another thing he did? Like he tried to say that he'll come and talk to me and he'll like tell me something, right? And he'll make something like it's not like even a big deal, you know what I'm saying? And then he'll try and go talk to like someone above us. And he'll like he was like, yeah, man, this person is shitbag, this guy, they're blah blah blah, yeah, they're a fuck up, blah blah blah. You know, and just kinda just like WTF. Or and if you confront him about it, it's like, oh, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. It's just like, mm-hmm. but so just said that, like, you know, you just, you know, it's like, no, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And what else? He brought up like a comment, like he expressed his comment once before about like we're talking about. I think Trump at the time had the whole like the, you know, like the immigrants and like they were kept like captive, I think, stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you know, exactly where they belong, type stuff. Like we're talking about that. We're kind of like a roundtable discussion about whatever. And like he pretty much was like siding and agreeing with saying like, you know, oh, you know what I'm saying? I agree with like, yeah, like this is where they belong. This is what they deserve. And it was just kind of like, whoa, like, you know, yeah, like nothing that he's ever done has ever been like direct, but it's like it's been very touched around.
Passive aggressive.
Yes, that's what I can put out the way. Like very like passive aggressive. Like you know what they're implying, but you know he can definitely spin his way out of it if you bring it up wherever. And it's like I felt the vibe energy, and like other people have. And like, and if you were to ask like literally anyone around our boat, you know, at, like their opinion of Ellison Roberts, they would say, yeah, that guy's 100% racist. Like gotta be, like, you know, because it's just this way. And like I've heard there's been females in my shop where they've been like, oh yeah, you know, they feel like he's sexist because, you know, he's very like he's such a condescending person, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's such a like talk down. Like if you're pretty much like if he doesn't respect your view on his love, it's, you know, I don't respect you. You know? And it's like it's messed up because like when you're such a diverse branch that has everyone in there, you know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of hard to like, hey bro, you know, like my chief is a black female, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our department actually is, I don't know where she's from, but like she has an act, like she's from somewhere, I don't know, but she's a dark-skinned lady. Her name is Lieutenant Bediako. Yeah, and she's from somewhere, you know, but she's as black as my vans are, very very thick accent, you know. And she's an officer, a whole lieutenant, a very whole O3, you know? And it's like, you know, like, you, like I just don't get how, like you can, like, feel what you feel and then have people in charge of you that are exactly what you dislike and hate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much for spending time to talk about this. Like, I have no clue about the military. I mean, I do have family in the military, but not in American military, so... Yeah, so it's totally different story. But it's nice for you to sit down with me today on this wonderful Sunday evening and, you know, talk about your experience. And hopefully this will be helpful to people who listen and who have those thoughts or are planning on joining.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, like, I'm no advocate for the military. I'm not promoting. I'm not saying, oh, go join, get, like, absolutely not. I think that the military has a lot of good benefits. You know, it has a lot of good stuff that people can, you know, take advantage of and, you know what I'm saying, utilize that, you know, for people not knowing what they want to do with themselves, like me, it's a good platform to start.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good platform to initiate your life, figure out what it is, you know, thing you want to do. You know, it's not for everyone. It's generally not. I've seen
that. Yes. I can attest, you know, to that. Not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
You know, there are people that I started off with that, you know, are not even in now. There are people like I went to boot camp with, or in with, that, you know, I was in A school with, you know, that are not even in the military anymore. And it's only been 2 years, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, they're civilians now, you know, living their best life, doing other things. But yeah, but, you know, like, if people, like, know what you want to do with going in, you know, have a plan, and, you know, just don't let anyone stray from that, because they're going to try to convince you, and they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, like, one thing is always told is that Uncle Sam will get his. Uncle Sam will get everything that he wants out of you. Everything. And I do mean, I promise you, mark my word, everything. He will, you're the towel, you know what I'm saying? He will, you know, bring out every last drop that he had to get to another step. Because, like, many people use it as a platform to get to the next level. But just whatever it is you plan on want to do, just, yeah, I say, like I said, you know, just use it, you know?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Would you like to say goodbye to our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. It was wonderful. It was very, very lovely sitting here chatting with you, sharing my experience, and, you know, hopefully providing some very insightful information, you know, to the listeners there, you know, about the military and what they want to do. You know, I hope it was insightful and helpful, and that, you know, someone out there considering it, that, you know, they take this with just a hint of salt, you know, but in stride, of course, and, you know, go forth and do great things with it, you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And, you know, if you're considering the military, you should do a lot of research and plan, as Jeremiah suggested. So have a great day and goodbye.